Can we predict the culprit artery when your patient is having a STEMI? While not possible to be 100% accurate in our prediction from looking at a single ECG, I'd like to suggest some tips that may be helpful in identifying the likely culprit artery. But before I get to these tips, I wanted to highlight some important concepts. The term STEMI, that is, ST segment elevation myocardial infarction, is in process of becoming outdated. A far better term than STEMI is OMI, that is OMI, which stands for occlusion-based myocardial infarction. The reason for favoring the term OMI is that in order to qualify as a STEMI, there has to be a certain number of millimeters of ST elevation in contiguous leads. What we are trying to do is to identify those patients for whom the cause of their acute coronary syndrome is sudden complete occlusion of a major coronary artery, because these are the patients for whom acute reperfusion, be this by cardiac catheterization with balloon angioplasty or by prompt initiation of thrombolytic therapy, these are the patients who stand to benefit most from acute reperfusion. Unfortunately, all too many clinicians, including many cardiologists, remain stuck in the STEMI paradigm, in which patients with new chest pain and ST elevation are taken to cath, but those with chest pain and perhaps ECG abnormalities, but not ST segment elevation, are called non-STEMIs and are not taken to cath. The problem with this approach is that as many as 30%, if not significantly more, of all acute coronary occlusions will be missed if clinicians are stuck waiting for ST segments to elevate before they consider activating the cath lab. The days of insisting on seeing clear ST segment elevation in a patient with worrisome new onset chest pain should be over. With practice, recognition of patterns of leads, including hyperacute T waves that are taller and fatter at their peak and wider at their base than expected, as well as recognition of convincing reciprocal ST segment depression, ST depression that is maximal in leads V2 through V4, as occurs with acute posterior MI, and dynamic ST-T wave changes on serial tracings are all potential indicators of acute coronary occlusion that may merit prompt cath even when ST elevation isn't there. Bottom line, rather than waiting for ST segments to elevate, look for other ECG indicators of acute OMI. And look in all 12 leads for subtle abnormalities that, taken together in the context of a patient with new-onset worrisome chest pain, strongly suggests an acute evolving event. Pearl. Acute ECG changes may evolve over a matter of minutes. If concerned about a possible acute event in a patient with new-onset chest pain, repeat the ECG in as few as 10 to 15 minutes later. And if your concern continues, repeat the ECG several times instead of waiting hours to do so. Dynamic, that is, changing ECG findings on serial tracings, is one of the strongest indicators that cath lab activation is needed. So how do we identify the culprit artery? For the purpose of time, I won't say much about acute left main coronary artery occlusion, other than to say that it is rare to see patients with acute left main occlusion in a hospital or even emergency room setting, because most of these patients die before they reach the hospital. So imagine you see ST elevation in each of the three inferior leads, that is in leads 2, 3, and AVF. Pearl. I find lead AVL provides almost magical assistance in confirming whether the ST elevation you see in the inferior leads is real and indicative of acute inferior MI, and not due to something else, such as acute pericarditis or a repolarization variant. If you see reciprocal ST depression in lead AVL, in which the amount and shape of this ST depression is virtually a mirror image opposite picture of the ST elevation you see in lead 3, this virtually confirms acute OMI. Now, acute inferior MI may be due to acute occlusion of the RCA, that is the right coronary artery. It may be due to occlusion of the left circumflex artery or to occlusion of the LAD, left anterior descending coronary artery. In some patients, the LAD is a larger vessel that not only supplies the anterior wall of the left ventricle, but continues beyond the cardiac apex to wrap around and go on to also supply a portion of the inferior wall of the left ventricle. Acute occlusion of a large LAD with wraparound may therefore produce anterior and inferior ST elevation. That said, This can usually be recognized and distinguished from acute RCA occlusion because the relative amount of anterior ST elevation will be more than the amount of inferior lead ST elevation when an LAD with wraparound is the culprit. But when there is no anterior ST elevation, the culprit artery for most of the remaining cases of acute inferior ST elevation will be the RCA. This is because approximately 85% of patients have a right dominant circulation, in which the RCA is a dominant vessel that supplies not only the right ventricle, but also the inferior and posterior walls of the left ventricle. The other 15% of patients have a left dominant circulation, in which the left circumflex artery, rather than the RCA, supplies the major portion of the posterior and inferior walls of the left ventricle, as well as the lateral wall. Clues that the RCA is the culprit artery with acute inferior MI are, number one, that there is relatively more ST elevation in lead 3 compared to lead 2, and number two, that there is marked reciprocal ST depression in lead AVL. In contrast, for those 15% of patients in whom the left circumflex is the culprit artery, the relative amount of ST elevation in lead 2 tends to be more than in lead 3. And there is often relatively less reciprocal ST depression in lead AVL. Both RCA and left circumflex occlusion may produce associated posterior MI, and both may produce some ST elevation in lateral leads V5 and V6, but left circumflex occlusion is more likely to produce a greater amount of lateral lead ST elevation, as the circumflex artery supplies more of the lateral wall. Finally, if ever you see ECG evidence of acute right ventricular infarction in addition to acute inferior MI, as may be suggested by even slight ST elevation in lead V1, but without any ST elevation at all in other anterior leads, this localizes the culprit artery to the RCA, because neither the left circumflex nor the LAD supply the right ventricle. What about anterior lead ST elevation? As I've already mentioned, acute occlusion of the left main branch of the left coronary artery is most often rapidly fatal, and most of those patients die before they reach the hospital. So I'm primarily referring to patients with acute LAD occlusion. I'd like to break these down into proximal LAD occlusions versus mid to more distal LAD occlusions, with risk being greater for more proximal occlusions that are far more likely to affect the conduction system. You can suspect a more proximal LAD occlusion when ST elevation begins early, with significant ST elevation already by lead V2, if not already by lead V1. Proximal LAD occlusion prior to takeoff of the first diagonal is also suspected when you see significant ST elevation in lead AVL, and when you see reciprocal ST depression in the inferior leads. Consider how different this picture is than when you have acute occlusion of a large LAD with wraparound, in which, rather than inferior lead ST depression, you have ST elevation in both anterior and inferior leads. Finally, with mid or more distal LAD occlusion without wraparound, you will more likely see a later onset of maximal ST elevation with minimal or no ST elevation in lead AVL, and no inferior lead reciprocal ST depression. I'll conclude this brief overview, in which I have admittedly simplified ECG findings for time's sake, with two final points. First, seeing diffuse ST depression in multiple leads, usually in at least 7 or 8 leads, in association with ST elevation in lead AVR, suggests the syndrome of diffuse subendocardial ischemia. But this finding does not suggest acute coronary occlusion. Although many of these patients may have severe coronary disease, including possible left main disease, there are other potential causes of this supply-demand mismatch, including tachycardia, anemia, hypotension, or severe angina. Clearly, prompt cardiac cath may be indicated for some of these patients if their symptoms are new, in order to define the anatomy. But it's important to remember that the ECG finding of diffuse ST depression with ST elevation in lead AVR is not suggestive of acute coronary occlusion. Last point. The ECG is far from being a perfect predictor of the culprit artery. This is because many factors may affect what we see on ECG, including anatomic variants in the cardiac circulation, a history of prior infarction, which may result in difficult to predict patterns of collateral flow, and multivessel disease, in which ST elevation in one anatomic lead area may be opposed and attenuated by ischemic ST depression resulting from narrowing of another major coronary vessel. So final determination of the culprit artery will depend on the findings at cardiac cath, but I hope my brief review still proves useful in conveying the basic principles.